Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Thanks for joining us on the Financial Flight Plan this week. Walter Storholt here for Bree Reyes. We're letting Tim Estes have a little bit of time off here from the podcast, but I'm enjoying it because we get more conversation, more time to chat with Bree. She's a certified financial planner and investor coach helping people at Estes Financial Services throughout the Metroplex better prepare for your financial future. And we're talking on today's podcast about couch potato dollars. You haven't gotten anywhere in life by being lazy. If you've ever had children, you probably told them not to be a lazy bones, or maybe you used worse language. I'm sure you maybe experienced a little bit of that, Bree, when you were growing up, potentially.
I definitely heard get off the couch and get outside.
Yeah, some element of, you know, quit being lazy was, I'll never forget, my mom hit me upside the head one time because I was, we were raking leaves every Saturday. It was the raking leaves day, and we had a lot of leaves in our yard, so it was an all-day project. And I was a good sport about it most of the time. There was this one Saturday where I was just like being really lazy. I just wasn't interested in doing anything. I was scratching my head, and it was just annoying my mom because I'm just kind of sitting there scratching. And you have to know, she's an HR manager, so she's just very locked into like employee productivity. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget it. She whopped me upside the head because she'd been frustrated with me all day. And it's the only time she ever hit me, and it was just a, you know, it just knocked my baseball cap off kind of thing. But, you know, she was very frustrated, and she was like, "Oh my God, you're going to be a terrible employee." That was her criticism of my raking leaves. Was, "You're going to be a terrible employee." I couldn't help but just laugh, and even my dad was like, "What? Who says that to their child? Like, that's the insult you decide to throw around." Turns out, not to get kind of gross here, but I ended up having the next day at school, or on Monday when we went back to school, I ended up having they did a lice check, and I had the worst case of lice. And my mom felt so bad that she was calling me a couch potato and criticizing my work ethic when I couldn't barely think because it was so itchy. And anyway, that's down a
She should probably be happy your head wasn't on the couch.
Yeah,
your couch
exactly.
Didn't get lice infected.
Yeah, we were outside instead. So she paid for it, having to be the one, like, you know, shampooing my hair with all the bad stuff.
I have had lice. That is terrible.
And you've got young kids, right? So you're probably going to encounter this again at some point, I would imagine.
I would imagine. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we can avoid it. But I would imagine.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Long story short, anyway. We still hold that over my mom's head all the time, and I'll just say, "Yeah, I'm going to be a terrible employee, aren't I, Mom?" And she'll remember that time. But in any event, Mom's intentions were good. She wanted me to stop being lazy, get to work. Well, here's the problem in the financial world. A lot of people have this lice-ridden or couch potato money, lazy money, you might hear it referred to as, sitting around in their portfolios doing nothing. But let's give it a clearer definition here, Bree. What do we mean when we say lazy money, when we attach this couch potato or lazy money term to dollars?
We've got a couple of different ideas of lazy money. We've got money that's barely keeping up with inflation, or quite frankly, not keeping up at all. And sometimes maybe the fees for your bank are more than the interest you're earning on the account. So there's lazy, that's our first set of lazy money. Then we've got, you know, checking, saving, CD, money markets are kind of commonly lazy dollars. And then we get the option that maybe your portfolio is invested so conservatively that the return, you're not getting the return that you should for the investment that you're in.
Okay. So you're taking your soldiers, your money, and instead of sending them out to war and having them bring back, you know, additional dollars, the fruits of their labor, they're not bringing much in return, if anything at all, is the case here with lazy money.
Exactly. It needs to fit your personal time horizon and your risk tolerance, but you have to make sure that what you're doing is prudent for the long-term goal.
So take the average retiree or pre-retiree who comes into the office to meet with you, and two questions. Do they have lazy money in their portfolio a lot of the times? And then assuming that that answer is yes, why do you think that's the case, that they have so much lazy money laying around in the portfolio?
There's a couple of different reasons people might have lazy money in the portfolio. They got burned in 2008. They've retreated to cash and they've never come back, which in that case, they've missed quite a bit of a market upswing.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Or they're gun shy about investing in general. They don't understand the concepts and they're too afraid to ask. So that can be another reason people have lazy money. A third is maybe they don't trust the markets, the government, big corporations, and they don't want their money invested like that. So that can be a third reason. And then they haven't been paying attention to the news or the markets. Maybe they don't have any plan or guide to invest and they don't know how to ask. And then the fifth that I'm going to add here is they don't know how much to have in lazy money or say their emergency fund or their savings. The perfect example of that is my husband. When we first met, he had quite a bit in his savings and he didn't understand that it wasn't working for him and that he had way, way, way more than he needed in an emergency savings account or even a savings account. He just had no idea. He thought he was doing the right thing.
Wow. That's amazing. And I think that, you know, you kind of look at those different reasons why people have lazy money. It reminds me of a story, and maybe this one ends up being the most common, is just people get busy with life and they just aren't paying attention or just don't know the right questions to ask. Maybe that's one of the reasons too. And I think you mentioned that, just gun shy about asking or, you know, inquiring, maybe out of fear, maybe just out of, you know, out of ignorance. But I'll never forget a coworker who had been working for much longer than I had been at the time. This is several years ago, but got close to retirement age and he went to go have his portfolio analyzed and looked at, and he was devastated because when they showed him what was going on in his portfolio and what could have been, I mean, he could have retired immediately, and instead he's going to have to work for several more years. He had been saving into a 401k and never actually invested it in anything. It might as well have been a bank account. All of the money through his entire career he had invested in the 401k, he just never knew that he had to actually then invest it in anything. So he's just missed the compound interest and the growth
years.
On that money for
30 years of growth.
30 years of growth. I mean...
Oh, that makes my heart hurt.
Doesn't
and unfortunately,
it?
I hear stories like that all the time.
It's so frustrating. It's just really unfortunate. And it's such an easy fix. I mean, investing in the market, you know, we could go through another conversation of that. Yeah, it's difficult to do it, but at least being in the game is not a hard trigger to pull, especially if you've got a lot of years for that money to grow. So we don't want people to have that kind of lazy money in their portfolio. That's, I guess, one example, Bree, of how lazy money can be so dangerous. What are other ways that... It's not just like, you know, you've got the lazy son on the couch, to use that analogy. Well, maybe there's not really danger to you having that lazy son on the couch, but there is danger in having lazy money in the portfolio.
Well, exactly. I mean, let's take a simple example here. Let's say inflation is 3% for the next 20 years. Okay. And I need $5,000 a month right now to run my household, for example. This is all just a hypothetical inflation.
Sure.
20 years from now, how much money am I going to need with just a 3% inflation to run the same household?
I can't do the math fast enough, but I know you've got the answer.
$9,000.
$9,000. So just inflation alone, our lifestyle has almost doubled in expense.
Exactly.
And so that was over how many years?
20 years.
20 years. Okay. So not even a potentially 30-year retirement. 40-year retirement. This is just 20 years. Okay.
You're losing so much in the way of buying power. I mean, if you're not investing at all and we're not getting really good interest rates on money you might have at a CD or a checking, a savings account type situation, you're not even going to beat inflation. So you're just going to negative yourself right into a hole.
Mm. Well, I guess here's the problem with that, right? If you just set up, even if you were just relying on, let's say, a pension or Social Security, and it covers your need at the start of retirement, doesn't mean your plan is done, because it's not going to be there for you 10, 15, 20 years from now. It's no longer going to be accomplishing what you need if it's not also increasing with inflation.
Right. And a lot of pension plans and Social Security, they may have a bump every now and then, but it doesn't necessarily keep pace with the rising cost of just stuff.
Well, what was Social Security's bump last year? Wasn't it? And it was less than 1%, right? I mean, it was a joke of a percent.
It was marginal at best.
Yeah, a little extra. You can get a couple extra hot dogs every once a month. You can have an extra hot dog dinner, and that's the Social Security increase I think we saw recently. So
don't bash the Costco hot dog dinner.
Oh, it was one of my favorite things. I said you get an extra. You get one extra a month. You know. But it's not exactly a life-changing kind of increase here when you might now have your lifestyle increasing dramatically over top of that.
No, not at all.
The hot dogs may not have inflated in price over the years, but the cost of your car and your gas to get to the Costco, that inflated maybe at a much higher rate. So see, that's,
or your price that's, of your cell phone, the price of your cable bill.
I mean, everything.
Cable bill, everything. None of my utilities ever just stay with inflation.
No. Mm-mm. No. Our rent, I know for our office building, has a built-in increase every single year. It'll just keep going up no matter long how you stay there, and they're keeping up with inflation by doing so, and so everything else in the world's going to do the same thing.
Exactly.
So got to keep these things in mind. All right, so here's the crux of the conversation. We've got this problem, lazy money sitting around in the portfolio, happens to a lot of people, even those who have saved a lot of money for retirement, still have a lot of that money sitting around being lazy, could be working more efficiently for you. But because of some of those reasons that you mentioned, Bree, they got burned in 2008 by the crash, or they're just gun shy about being in the market, or maybe they have distrust in the system, all those different issues, they're a little hesitant to make any changes. So how do we reconcile this need to change, but this hesitancy to make the change?
It's good to sit down and talk with somebody, explain what you're doing, explain your motivation for why you have the money. Is it, I'm burned? Is it, I don't trust the government? Is it, in case of my husband, I thought this was an appropriate emergency fund, but I understand that I'm missing things. First of all, figure out your motivation for the lazy money, or maybe why it's accumulated is a good place to start. And then you can figure out maybe, do I need to find an investment that limits the downside but has growth potential? You know, what is my risk tolerance? What am I comfortable with? Maybe my timeline. You know, when do I need this money? If I'm a young 30 to 40-year-old and it's qualified money, I can't even touch it without penalty for quite a few years. So that should affect my time horizon for when I'm going to touch the money. And so what you want to do is you want to construct an overall plan that gives you an understanding about how each dollar should be invested and the type of money that is invested, whether it's qualified or non-qualified, and really what the purpose of the money is. Is this a college savings account for a youngin? You know, is this what you're going to buy your next car with next week? Talk to someone about what the purpose of the money is.
Sounds like you basically address this when folks come in to meet with you and have a conversation about their finances by asking a lot of questions. You're a big question asker to get to the bottom of a lot of this problem solving.
Exactly. And then you can set up a system for where you start and maybe invest monthly. Say $200 a month, $400 a month. And then it becomes a good routine or habit, in the example of my husband's case with his giant emergency fund that I tease him for. You know, once we started putting that in place where it was just an automatic draft where he didn't have to do anything and got it invested a month, and he kept a good chunk in an emergency savings account and went a rainy day fund. But once we started putting the excess into his account, he was thrilled. It was great. It built up reserves that he didn't have initially before, that he wasn't contributing before. And it's never an all or none situation. You should have some emergency fund. You should have some short-term cash. But we need to watch how much is basically losing purchasing power by just keeping it as lazy money.
Yeah. What's more likely in the future, that you're going to, you know, have a situation where it's so dire you need enough money to last 3 years without earning another dollar, but that situation was so dire to where you were still able to access it at the bank in the first place? Or that you're going to lose purchasing power over time? One of those is more likely than the other, and I would think that it's the latter. That doesn't mean the first won't ever happen, but it's more likely that the latter is going to be the one that occurs and happens.
Exactly. And those lost dollars, I call the lost growth, the lost change in your account value, it can hurt you in the long term. It's something that you've got to take a look at when you're looking at those couch potato dollars is how much am I giving up in gains? How much am I turning away, basically?
All good parts of the conversation, I think. There's the emotional component. Yeah, okay, you're more comfortable with 6 months in your emergency fund than 3 months, like somebody else might be comfortable with. That's great, but do you really need 5 years worth of money just sitting in the bank doing nothing when it could be making a return for you? And that's what we're getting at with a lot of this conversation, I think. So hopefully that's helpful. Think about your dollars and don't let them be lazy. Don't let them sit around and do nothing inside your portfolio. It's risky. It's not helpful in the long run. Make sure that you have the proper balance and the proper allocation throughout your portfolio and throughout your financial plan. And if you need help sorting all of that out, reach out to Bree Reyes and Tim Estes and the team at Estes Financial Services. 817-444-8402 is your number to call. That's 817-444-8402. You can find us online as well at estesfinancial.net, on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher as well. Big thank you to Bree for joining us on the program today, reminding you to listen to the Financial Flight Plan each week. In fact, next episodes, we're going to talk about the youngins. We're going to talk about kids and money, how you can raise financially savvy children, or maybe if you're already in the grandparent stage, this will also apply, I believe, how to be a financially savvy grandparents and raise financially savvy grandkids. We'll cover all the bases on next week's program. So that'll be a lot of fun. And Bree, that's all part of living an abundant life, right? And that's our goal each and every week here on the show.
Go out and lead an abundant life.
Absolutely. And we'll talk to you again next time on the Financial Flight Plan.
Securities offered through Triad Advisors, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Estes Financial Services, Inc., which is not affiliated with Triad Advisors.